Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this session of the 2014 Fundraising Success Virtual Conference and Expo. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Margaret Battistelli-Gardner, Editor-in-Chief of Fundraising Success, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the gamification, the lift note of the digital age session. It's a crucial topic since we all know that the average adult attention span these days seems to be that of a highly caffeinated gnat. Today we'll talk about how to keep people engaged on your website and, we would hope, inching toward action, whether that action is giving, sharing, or some other form of engagement. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video that we were playing leading up to the webinar, you can always click this widget for more information. Also, we hope you enjoy the session so much that you'd like to share it with your colleagues. And if you do, the hashtag for the conference is FSV14. Also, as you know, attending all of the sessions in today's conference is applicable for 3.5 points in the education category of the CFRE International Application for Initial Certification or Recertification. You can find the documentation necessary to track the credits that you've earned during the show in the Resource Center or the Information Booth, and via a link in a post-event email. If you have any questions, please email virtualshowinfo@napco.com. Our speaker today is Daniel Atherton, Digital and Analytics and Optimization Coordinator in the Interactive Department at Chapman, Cubine, Adams, and Hussey. Daniel joined CCAH's Interactive Department in 2010, and he specializes in online production and analysis, including email and landing page coding, graphics, data analysis, and benchmarking, among other things. He also leads the company's efforts to innovate in the areas of email rendering and deliverability, predictive data analysis, mobile rendering, and text integration. I encourage you to ask questions throughout the session, and if time allows, we'll get to them at the end. But if you don't have your questions answered, no worries. Look for answers in an upcoming issue of Today in Fundraising, which is our free daily e-newsletter. You can subscribe to that at fundraisingsuccessmag.com. Okay, Daniel, welcome, and let's turn things over to you.
Hello. Thank you for that. Hello, everybody. I didn't know that you could get points for attending these sessions today. That's a great initial example of gamification. My name is Dan. I work at Chapman, Cubine, Adams, and Hussey. This is a display of some of our clients. We've been doing award-winning direct marketing campaigns for these and many other clients for more than 25 years, big and small, from campaign committees to national environmental groups to women's groups, hospitals, everything in between. I work in our online department, as Margaret mentioned, but we do direct mail, telemarketing, a really multi-channel approach to direct marketing. And I think that, that gamification, you know, because of the technical things involved, is often thought of as an online or a digital, topic. But these really are topics that work across channels, all of these themes, the ways to get people to engage with your content, the ways to get people to, feel a part of your organization's mission aren't limited to online. So these are things that hopefully spark creative ideas no matter what you're doing and no matter what channel you're utilizing. So what is gamification? It's certainly a buzzword. There are always buzzwords of the day that are getting thrown around. Fly around the marketing world every so often, make you feel like you're being left out of a hot new trend, that you're not doing something you should be doing. But it doesn't need to just be a buzzword, and it also doesn't need to be something crazy, complicated, and specific. You don't need to, build an Angry Birds branded app for your organization. You don't need to throw, a ton of money into something crazy, technical, and cool. All the gamification concept really is, at its base, is a reminder to think about your constituents in a certain way, to think about what influences their behavior, to think about what makes them want to share your content or your asks with others, to think about what makes them feel like a part of what you're asking them to do. So the basic characterization of a game, if you think about just a game, is that it's interactive. So the user isn't simply sitting back and passively consuming something, they're a participant, and we can use very simple techniques to make our donors and potential donors feel like participants too. So I am going to show some examples. I tend to talk a lot, and I tend to talk fast, but these are very short sessions, so I'm not sure exactly how those competing impulses will pan out, but hopefully there will be some time for questions at the end, or maybe I will overshoot and finish all of my slides in 7 minutes, and people have some time left. So when you think about gamification, if you've thought about gamification, you may have thought of it looking something like this. This is a page from the fundraising peer-to-peer platform CrowdRise. This is Will Ferrell's fundraising page. CrowdRise is a peer-to-peer fundraising platform crossed with a social platform that has a big celebrity element. It was partially founded by the actor Edward Norton, and he said that he wants CrowdRise to be the place where people define their activist life to their peers. So you've got Facebook for your social life, and you've got LinkedIn for your work life, and hopefully CrowdRise for your charitable life. And so you can see that people show off the causes that they donate to. They can share those causes. So Will Ferrell's here is Cancer for College, which is an organization he's involved with, and you can accrue impact points and crests and badges and things. The tagline at the top even says, "If you don't give back, no one will like you," which is a very aggressive slogan. This is gamification on a bigger scale. So this is making fundraising social, giving goals, rewards, allowing you to see how you stack up. Peer-to-peer fundraising, obviously many organizations have a very strong peer-to-peer component to their fundraising, and there are a lot of elements of gamification to that. If you have the time to devote to promoting your organization on a platform like this, a peer-to-peer platform like CrowdRise or Resu, there are others, that's great. As Margaret mentioned, I'm a data guy, so it makes me nervous to add data sources to a fundraising program. If you have your program split across a bunch of different platforms, it can make the data a little bit more challenging, but that's not always a reason not to try out a platform that might do great for you. You can also, if you have the resources, help to create your own peer-to-peer platform, whether something that's built into a tool that you already use in Convio or in another CRM that you use for your other fundraising efforts, or build something new and integrate it more deeply into the rest of your program. So this is a page from the LA-based Cancer Research Hospital, City of Hope, who has worked with a platform called Classy, which used to be known as Stay Classy, which is how you may have heard of them, to build a custom peer-to-peer platform called Our Hope that allows people to create fundraisers based on any event in their lives. So it's not just, a series of walks like a lot of organizations have, and it's not around a specific event. You can pick what's meaningful to you. You can pick, as you can see, you can pick to fundraise around your birthday or around a sports event or around a memorial for a person that's important to you that maybe has lost a battle against cancer. You can make it personal to you, but then the platform allows you to add in all of those things that you've seen on other peer-to-peer platforms like CrowdRise and the others to turn the experience into something that is interactive. So getting back to the sense that gamification is about making the user feel like they are driving their experience with your organization, like they are contributing to your goals rather than just passively consuming your content or, being forced into doing something that they don't feel a part of. So these are great, and it's excellent when you have the ability to utilize these bigger tools. So I would encourage people to, if they don't have a peer-to-peer program or if they haven't heard of these tools, to see if they might be useful for you. But they can also be time-intensive. They can also be money-intensive. They can also be, just very complicated ways to create those feelings amongst your users. And so a lot of what I want to talk about today is ways to think about gamifying your fundraising program without having to go this far, without having to be such a big, complicated, specific thing. Making your users feel like they're engaging with your work, feel like they're a part of your goals, that can be easier than building an entire platform or building an entire app, as some organizations have thought maybe they need to do, or building an entire customized experience for people to do, to utilize those cool technical digital tools. So here is an example, a very easy, basic example. This is from WWF. It's just a quiz. It's a BuzzFeedy quiz called Find Your Inner Animal, and it asks you a bunch of questions and then tells you which animal that WWF works on that you are most like. So it's easy. It's fluffy content. It's not certainly hard to put together no matter what platform you're on, but this one is really nicely done. Quizzes aren't games per se, but they make the conversation about the user and not about the organization. It's what kind of animal are you, what's your inner animal, and how that, and then that ties back to WWF's, obviously, core mission. But it reverses, essentially, the conversation. It's not saying this is what we as WWF want from you. It's what can we find out about you? How can we make you feel like you are closer to our experience? And obviously they are interactive. They have a lot of other benefits. You can use what you find out in a simple BuzzFeedy quiz like this to inform how you communicate with a person in the future. You can take that data that you get, make this fun, personalized content, a data collection tool for you. So maybe you send an email to this user later with content specifically about the animal that they discovered was their inner animal. And you can also make it really shareable because this is the sort of thing that people like to share on Facebook. This is the kind of animal I got. What kind of animal would you get? And so that obviously indirectly broadens your message, takes your mission to more people, but makes it feel like it's the user who is driving that experience. So you probably already use techniques like this or other techniques that are informed by the psychology of gamification, even if you don't realize it. So having a user, take a quiz, feel like they are driving the action, or having a user pick something or vote on something, that brings in the concept of winning. It brings in the concept of participation. So here is an email from the Trust for Public Land, you can have your members vote on a new member card design, like in this example. We've had some clients send out emails asking people to vote, and then the winning pick for the member card is sent out to everybody. We've also had clients who allow people to personalize. So renew your membership now, pick your member card image, and we'll send you that image. You can have users vote on all kinds of things, on the cover image for a yearly calendar. These examples are multi-channel examples specifically because for us, we try to make sure that all of the components, no matter the channel, for our clients are integrated and are complementary of each other. So we have this technique in the email, but that affects the mail that the user is receiving because, beyond just the concept of gamification, that makes the user more valuable, that makes the user feel like they're receiving a more cohesive message from the organization, it makes them a better donor, all sorts of things. But, you can have any kind of voting or choosing or personalizing online only if you want, depending on again, what your mission is, what your content is. You can have users see a thermometer to show your progress towards a goal. This is also, it seems very simple, but again, it's using gamification theory. Instead of just asking the donor for a gift, you are inviting the donor to be a part of winning or achieving this goal. You are making it seem like something that they are a part of. You're making it seem like they are their participation is necessary to achieve something that's important to both you and them. And hopefully a lot of your organizations are already using things like this, grounding the asks that you're making in this inclusive, interactive language. So it's not just we need to raise as much money as possible by an indefinite amount of time. We would like to raise exactly this much money by exactly this date, and we can only do it with your help. Will you be a part of it? Will you be a part of us achieving this together? Also, having a picture of a kitten is helpful, but not everybody can do that. And here's an example, hopefully it is clear enough from the DCCC. Even just using particular language, so this isn't anything particularly special, but it uses unlock language, unlock the match. Do something special and get this reward, get this bonus, get this, triple the effect of your gift, but only if you do this right now. You're not actually doing anything differently. You're not actually creating anything crazy. You're not actually spending all this money on anything. It's exactly the same thing that you would be asking them no matter what, but it is putting it in the context of something that they are able to achieve, that they have the agency to accomplish. These are things that anybody can do. If you have a little bit more coding ability, whether that's internally or whether you're working with partners that code particular things for you, you can take these concepts and broaden them out even farther. So this is a donation form from the Environmental Defense Fund, and this is a map on the top right of the form that shows the location of people, you know, the vague location of people who have recently donated to this campaign from your area. So this, I'm in Boston, so the Boston area people who have donated to this campaign. And it can even, in this example, highlight a gift that was given in an amount similar to what we, you know, as Environmental Defense Fund, would like this user to donate. So we want to see maybe what their highest previous contribution amount is, and we can pick out a recent gift that's slightly higher than that was given by somebody in that person's area. You can do all sorts of, if you have the ability to tap into this data on a technical level, you can do all sorts of really fun stuff like this. And it's just like if you download a mobile game that has a regional leaderboard, for example. I'm much more interested in playing a game like that. I downloaded a game called Quiz Up a while ago, and it has a regional leaderboard, so I can see the top scores of people in Massachusetts. And I know I would definitely be the best Quiz Up player in Massachusetts if I just sat down and spent the next 10 hours without eating, drinking, or getting up playing this game. Similarly, I know I could definitely give just as much to EDF as this random guy that EDF is showing me. It's almost challenging me to surpass it in a gamification manner. So you want to give goals to people. You want to make them feel like they are part of achieving those goals. But you also want to consider that games try to make themselves easy to get into. Games can be difficult, but hopefully, good, well-designed games make it easy to feel like you can do something. They don't start off with the hardest level. They don't start off totally incomprehensible and make you figure stuff out. They say, here is something that you should achieve, that you want to achieve, and here is how you can do that. So here is another example from EDF again. This is their member center. So you can log in to your member center if you are a donor and see your giving history. You can adjust your sustaining gift. You can do all sorts of things. But one of the things that you can do is see all of the actions that you have taken and see all of the current actions, the advocacy actions that you haven't taken. So here in this example, there are 11 total available actions that I haven't taken, and they give me the ability to take all of them in one fell swoop. I can customize them if I want to. I can open them up because, a lot of advocacy actions give you the opportunity to write a more custom message to the legislator or to whoever the target is. Or I can just click that button, and I have taken all 11 actions. It has sent my generic message to all of the legislators or organizations applicable, and I'm done, and I feel great, and I feel like I've done a thing, and it makes me want to come back and make sure I have continued to take all of those actions. Obviously, again, this is more of a medium technical thing. It's on a big new platform, but it requires being able to, see, have access to that advocacy data and code a page that allows the user to take advantage of it. So have fun with trying ways to gamify your asks, but also realize that sometimes you might go a little bit too far. So once EDF had developed this the capability to allow people to take a lot of actions at once, they thought it might be a cool idea to send out an email, an activist scorecard, it was termed, to tell people how they stacked up against other people in how many actions that they had taken, and to then give them the opportunity to catch up to the leaderboard, to take all of the actions that were current in one fell swoop and catch up and get a better grade. this was a cool idea. It was, I think, something that could have worked well. It was not the language that was used, unfortunately, made some people think that EDF was, you know, scolding them, was mad at them, was criticizing them for not taking enough actions. And people got upset about that, and they got some bad feedback. So they sent out this apology email. And after that apology email, they actually got a lot of great feedback from their list about the apology. Sometimes users almost feel better about you for making a mistake, but then apologizing for it well than they would if you hadn't made the mistake at all. So, you know, this is just a cautionary tale, certainly, of ways that you can be overzealous in trying to apply not just this concept, but any concept when you're communicating with your users, but also, you know, an example of how even if you do something that doesn't work, that people don't like, that people feel, you know, bad about, being willing to send out an email to your users with an apology for that and to take their concerns into consideration in the future, you know, that doesn't harm you in the long run. It's not a reason not to try things. It's not a reason not to try to stay creative with your messaging and to try to bring these concepts into your program to get the benefits of them. So here are a couple of demos that we've put together here at CCH for our clients. We're trying to find the right client opportunity to use them. So these are sliders. Hopefully you can see the animation. I'm not sure if it's working on this platform, but they're both different versions of a slider technology. So you, instead of selecting a specific donation amount, like a normal ask string on a form, you use a slider instead. And the more that you pull the slider to the right, the more trees you save in this generic version, or the better of a badge that you get. So thinking about achievement, thinking about levels, thinking about unlocking badges and rewards, this is all tying into those gamification concepts and ties it very specifically to, you know, the act of donating and the act of trying to get people to give more, which is, you know, usually the goal. So these are just demos, and we are trying to find a really cool way to use them for our clients. But I saw last week a really great example from Humane Society International, which was too late, unfortunately, to screenshot it here. But they have a similar slider, and the animation involved is of animals in cages. And the more you drag the slider to the right, the more animals are released from their cages. And that's a very powerful visual reminder of what their mission is and of what your gift will help accomplish. And obviously, you know, we don't want to be too crass about making that entirely into a game, because their mission, all of our, you know, clients' missions are very serious and important, but making people feel like they are, it is their decision, it is their action that is driving the achievement, the accomplishment of letting animals out of cages, of saving trees, of, you know, research for cancer, anything that your organization might be raising money for, it's these visual representations of that can be very powerful and tap into exactly the same psychological impulses that make us play games, that make us want to engage with interactive content. So that's all gamification needs to be. You know, tap into people's desire to complete objectives, tap into their desire to be among the best, to compare themselves to people that they know, to compare themselves to people in their area, to compare themselves to all other donors or constituents of a particular organization. You know, maybe you send out an email that I'm sure you've seen. Many of you who have been on the political lists during the midterm season have seen all different permutations of this language, more permutations of this kind of language than you could ever think of. 64 people in your area have donated, and we need 100 by tonight. Will you be one of them? The match language, unlocking things. Joe Schmo from two towns down donated $100. Can you donate 110? All of this is stuff that's easily doable no matter what our platform is, no matter what our coding capabilities are, but can be a powerful tool to incentivize further behavior. So if you think back to, you know, what are the elements of a successful game? What are the elements of something that I download on my phone and that I want to play a lot? So it's an activity that people want to do. It's a way to make them feel good for spending their time on it. So whether that's a silly reward or whether that's actually powerfully feeling good about the thing that you were accomplishing, a way to make them feel good for spending more and more time on it, not just the initial amount of time, but making them want to come back and making them want to achieve more and to unlock more. These are all elements of the games that addict us, of the Candy Crushes, of the Angry Birds, of the whatever games you like to play on your phone, but we can also tap into those same impulses in any of the content that we are producing. We can do it in an email. We can do it in a direct mail letter. We can add a lot of cool technology, whether it's just a donation page slider or whether it's a entire peer-to-peer platform with leaderboards and sharing and all of those crazy cool things. At the base of it, it's simply thinking about your message and thinking about the asks that you are trying to get out to your users from their perspective, flipping it around. So not based on what your ask is, based on what will make them feel good about wanting to help you achieve goals. Making them feel like an interactive part of your mission and making them feel good, hopefully so good that they will share your asks with their friends and you will get more and more and more of whatever it is you are hoping to accomplish. So that's all I have. It's slightly early. There is a little bit of time left for questions if people have any. I will wait a couple of minutes. I haven't seen any questions so far, but feel free to ask.
Daniel, I have a question.
Sure.
You've given folks so many good ideas, and there are so many possibilities for how to include gamification on your website. Is there some sort of guide to when it might be too much? Like, obviously, you don't want to have too much activity, too many options of things that people can do on your homepage. At least I would assume that's the case. Is that true? I mean, can you get to the point where there's just too much going on and it's going to work against you?
Definitely. I mean, I think there are a lot of options, but that, as you're saying, doesn't mean that you should do all of those options at once, or even more than one of those options at once. Obviously, a well-designed, if we go back to CrowdRiser or another peer-to-peer tool, there will be different things you can do. Maybe you can see a leaderboard. Maybe you can share what you just did, whether you pledged a gift or whether you, signed up for a walk or whatever with your friends. But, in most contexts, broadly speaking, from a fundraising or just any direct marketing perspective, you want to make sure you're asking people to do one thing and you're guiding them to that one thing. And maybe after they do one thing, you ask them to do another thing. But you don't want to give them six options. You want to give them one option and then the second option and then the third option. So if you have a bunch of great ideas from this or from your own thinking about it for your users, I would encourage you to think about how you can sequence them rather than how you can provide all of them at once, because too many options and then people won't do any of them.
Right. You don't want your homepage to look kind of like a pinball machine where people
right.
are just bouncing all
yeah.
over the place.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of content on – oh, I'm sorry. There's a lot of content on people's websites that they want to make sure is prominent, that they want to make sure people have access to. But we more often than not counsel, clients, whether it's on their homepage or whether it's on, places that are more centered around giving, to winnow those things down to make it possible for people to find the content that they're looking for, but also to make it clear not just what we're looking for, but make it easy for them to figure out how they can help.
Right. What age group do you think that gamification reaches? I mean, obviously, traditionally, donors are older. Do you find that go ahead. What age group exactly do you think that this would reach or be more successful with?
I mean, as you say, most donors tend to be older. I think just on the surface, you might think, oh, games, kids play games. This is better for younger people. But I'm sure we all have older relatives who have figured out how to, get Farmville on their Facebook or to download something on their phone or even just to play, board games. Games aren't really a technology-specific thing. Everybody likes to play a game. Everybody likes to achieve things. People have always liked to do those things. So I don't think I've ever really, you know, thought of it as an age-specific technique. It's more just the things that incentivize people to want to do something and to feel good enough about having done it that they'll want to do it again.
Okay. We had a few questions very specifically about the WWF quiz that you mentioned. Do you know what platform they use for that?
I don't. They are not. That was not our client-specific example. But, you know, really just depending on your technical abilities, these are things that you can build from scratch and integrate into your own CRM, into whatever database that you use, or there are tools, both free and paid tools, that either create quizzes specifically or that you can kind of jury-rig, you know, a form, any kind of multi-step form that allows you to pick what happens to, like what a person sees after they pick a choice. Those can all be, we've rigged any number of those kinds of tools into quizzes just by presenting the content in a sequenced way and then creating those choices. So there's any number of ways to do it, and it should be possible kind of no matter what your organization's technical capacity and current situation to find something, you know, in your price range that will work for you. There's web tools for those things all over the place.
And we have a question. Someone asked, does gamification have any insights for traditional direct mail strategies? I'm not 100% sure what that means. Is there any connection? Is there any way that you can connect gamification to direct mail?
I mean, I think absolutely. I think, like I said at the beginning, at least at CCH, we very rarely think of things in a channel-specific way, because, you know, donors are donors. People who are interacting with your organization, they don't really care, that they don't identify as, oh, I'm a web person or, oh, I'm a mail person. They're just a person who is interested in your message, interested in your content, interested in your mission. And so the psychology of it works across channels because, you know, you're still asking people to do the same things. How you utilize those concepts obviously differs based on the medium, but if you know, think about gamification concepts as, you know, some of the examples with language, some of the examples with using unlocking matches or picking something or personalizing something or giving a deadline or sending people, you know, a sense of what people in their area are doing or what you need from people in a certain district or in a certain state. These are things that work just as well in a mail package as they do in an email. And so really just broadening the concept out to thinking about what is going to make people feel like they are driving the achievement of whatever your goal is. And that's, you know, gamification, whether it's in a web quiz or something you get in the mail.
I think we only have time for one more question, and you did touch on this, but someone was asking about, you know, gamification can easily be construed as being insensitive, depending on what your mission is. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts around how to ensure that you don't cross that line? I know that you talked about apologizing if you do, but what would you say about making sure that that doesn't happen?
I think it really, again, it depends on your mission. I think as long as you balance the content, whatever it is that you are putting together using these concepts, with, you know, what your actual mission is, you want to ground anything that you send to donors in a true voice of what your organization is, what they expect to hear from you, what, you know, you, how you talk about your issue and your mission. I think certainly there are ways to go too far, as the, you know, the example that I showed kind of did. I think the biggest thing often is when you're using any kind of technique, when you're trying to think about people's psychology, the danger is in thinking about them just as a, you know, as a brain, as a thing to be manipulated, rather than as a user, rather than as a consumer, rather than as somebody who is a part of your mission. So if you keep, you know, the humanity of that in mind, while you are still trying to utilize these techniques, you know, you will not go as wrong. So going back to that EDS example, you know, we were giving people bad grades because we thought that that would incentivize them, but really it was kind of, it just felt disrespectful to them. We could have said, here are X number of people who have, you know, taken all of the actions. Here are this number of people in your area who have taken all of the actions. You have taken this many, but not say, you have only taken this many, you get a bad grade, here, fix it. Keeping that in mind and making sure that, above all, you are respecting the relationship that you have with your donors. I would imagine it's the best way to...
But on that very important note, well, we are going to have to end the session because we've kind of gone over our time. On behalf of Fundraising Success, I want to thank everyone for attending. Daniel, I would like to thank you for your participation. And thank you also, attendees, for your great feedback. I've been reading your comments as they come in, and we appreciate that feedback. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation, head over to the Networking Lounge and chat with some other session attendees. Also, please visit the information booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And remember, if you missed anything, the entire virtual show will be archived, and the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you.